I know I am. I thought we might just continue on and just in a prayer service here this morning. Sometimes I think we're afraid of silence. There's a sign that's on the congregational church over there that I don't know if it's up anymore, but it used to be there. It says, God is still speaking today. I pray this morning that he would speak to your heart and to even to mine as we open the word. You don't need to turn there. I'll just read our text that's been there every week for the last 3 weeks. Acts 2, verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. For the past 3 weeks, and today we will end our time on speaking about prayer. If you have your outline there, all of the scriptures that will be mentioned today, most of them are there in your outline. As I thought about handing out these things, and I went back to my college years, and you can take this home. You can have it. You ever have somebody open a Bible and I've seen this before, and 17 bulletins fall out of their Bible? I used to think that was spiritual, but I'm afraid it's not. I'm afraid it's they're stuck in there, and then I do you even open that Bible? To me, a bulletin would get in the way. 17 or 20 of them would really be disastrous. Actually, it would begin to ruin your Bible. The pages will start to feel the pressure of all those bulletins. I do want to give a brief review, and I'm going to do it in the way of Scripture very, very quickly. You know, when Jesus was in the temple, they gave him the scroll, and he read from the scroll. There's no word that I can speak to you today that is more powerful than the Word of God, okay? All I can do is hopefully find some way of applying it to your life and to my life. And that's the objective as we come on a Sunday morning. But there's nothing more powerful than the Word of God. So I will strictly give the review with the verses that are mentioned there in your Bible. You don't need to turn. Please take them home and study them. The first week we talked about his eyes, the fact that his eyes are upon us. His eye is upon us. It doesn't matter where we go. It doesn't matter how far we go. There's no place that we can hide from him. David said, if I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I go into hell, you are there. And I think he was doing a figuratively hell. How many of you feel like there are days when it's hellish? But he's there. He sees you. In Psalm 33, verses 18 through 22, I'm not going to read all the verses. I'm going to strictly read the ones that talk about the eye. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him. Remember, Yare, it means to be in reverence of him, to have awe of him. That his eye is upon those who fear him. On those who hope in his mercy. The word mercy, hesed, means kindness, loving kindness, mercy, goodness, faithfulness, love, acts of kindness, and that's far from an exhaustive list of what his mercy means to your life and to mine. Proverbs 15:3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, on the evil and on the good. As we begin to, and I know I am getting, and even a brother this morning, we get riled up with what's going on in the world. But his eye is upon the evil. He is in control, okay? We can only have peace with that being in our head and in our hearts, that his eye is upon the evil that's going on in the world. There will be a judgment day. Proverbs 5:21, for the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all his paths. That's a wonderful thought, isn't it, that God ponders your path and mine? And the word ponder there Palas means to weigh out, to make level, to ponder, to guard, to watch carefully one's way of life. Not only does he watch your way of life, but he watches it carefully. You and I, oftentimes, we don't watch carefully, do we? And we get into trouble, but he watches carefully. He knows every step that we take. 2 Chronicles 16:9, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those who are loyal to him. Everybody in this room, as I look out, I know all of you, and I believe if you're not completely loyal to him, you want to be loyal to him. Amen? He will show himself strong on your behalf and on mine when that is true. The application that we looked at was in Psalm 34:20, and it was about our soul waiting for the Lord, not running ahead of him. So oftentimes we run ahead of the Lord. We don't wait for him to say, go, this is the way, walk in it, speak, this is the word you need to speak. Sometimes our mouths are going before he's even told us what to say. We're to trust in him and hope in him, the one whose eyes are upon us. And then the second Sunday we talked about our eyes. Hebrews 12:2, our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. I think that's one of the most important verses in the New Testament. Keep your eyes fixed on him. That doesn't mean that you look to him occasionally, that you cry out and look to him when you're in trouble. Keep your eyes fixed on him. Fixed, 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 fixed. Amen? Are your eyes fixed on me? Fix them on Jesus right now, okay? Listen to what his word says, but fix your eyes on him. Fix your heart on him. Psalm 19:8, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. If you aren't seeing correctly, it's because you're not allowing his word to work in your heart, okay? Remember how you looked at things before Christ? Wow! Wasn't that different? But you're transformed now, and you have, because of his word and his commandments, as you love his word, as you keep his word, your eyes will be enlightened. You will see things that you've never seen before. Psalm 118:23, referring to the salvation that our Lord gives us, it says that it is marvelous in our eyes. Are you aware this morning of how incredibly marvelous and wonderful your salvation is? That when the moment comes, if you should die before the Lord comes, you'll be absent from the body, present with the Lord? Do you believe that? You don't have to fear death. Isaiah 35:4-5, we were all blind until he opened our eyes. And Isaiah 35:4-5 says, say to those who are fearful hearted, be strong, do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be open, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. See, not only do you see him, but you hear him. Well, last week, we did talk about his ears, that we are made in his image. Proverbs 20:42, the hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord has made them both. Just as he made us in his image, just as he has eyes and just as he has ears, so you and I have eyes and have ears. And we looked at Psalm 94. And I'll just briefly run through these, the 8 keys in prayer. If you weren't there, you can ask me to give this to you, or you can go online and listen to the message. Number 1, seek his ear. Number 2, be honest with him, vulnerable with him. Number 3, ask him who hears, knowing who he is and what he does. I don't go to a plumber to ask him, how is my stomach? I've got a virus. Plumber was the wrong choice. Number four, pray aware of what is going on in your vicinity, in your world. I think that's a key, that's a real key one. You know, you forget to pray about something that's going on right there in your family. Instead, you get riled up and you get into conflict and you, when you should just really pray. Number six, praise God for who He is, what He has done, and what He's going to do. Number seven, pray knowing that it is in Him and Him alone that we find all we need for life and godliness. Number eight, Lord, You are in control. And I believe it's the end of the psalm where it says, You are my defense, my God, and my refuge. Meditate on that psalm, please. All right. Today we're going to look at our ears, His word, and our response to Him. When the Apostle John was given the revelation of heaven, and it was before he was before our glorified Lord and Savior Jesus, he heard the words that Jesus spoke concerning the church. And I want you to turn in your Bibles with me to Revelation, the very first chapter, and the opening greeting that John gives. How are your ears this morning? Anybody got earplugs in? Okay. Well, I don't know. Somebody could have an earache and you might have a piece of cotton in there. I suggest you take it out. Fourth verse through the seventh verse. John, to the seven churches in which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from Him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before His throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to Him who loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood and has made us kings and priests to His God and Father, to Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Everybody stand up and say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, sit down. It's an incredible greeting, isn't it? Because it contains all the reasons for why you and I are here today, why we are worshiping Him, why we are following Him, why we are living our life for Him. Because He's done it all. We can't take any credit for it. We can't, you know, nothing that we did, nothing to merit this salvation. It's by His grace and His grace alone. And when we consider these words about who Jesus is, what He has done and what He's going to do and what He will do, we cannot desire we have to desire to want to hear from Him. There are certain people in your life that you like hearing from, right? And there are others that you don't. Can I say there is never a moment when you don't want to hear from Jesus, when you don't want to hear from God? Because He's never going to say anything that is wasted. All right? Joe prayed that He would encourage, He would rebuke, that He would exhort. Whatever He wants to do today, open your heart, open your ears to it. Our ears should be attuned, attentive to His words, as Peter said, and I think it was prayed this morning, where else can we go? You have the words of life. Some of you came here this morning tired, some of you distressed, some of you however you came. Maybe you came half dead. The promise is that He'll make you alive. He'll fill you with life. He'll give you energy to do things that you never thought that you could do. He'll give you wisdom to speak things that you never thought you could speak. He give you the ability to listen where maybe you never thought you could listen to what that person might be saying to you, and He'll give you wisdom on how to respond to it. In the heavenly vision that John gave to the seven churches, at the end of each one of them, didn't matter if the church was doing well or it was doing poorly. He said these words, "He who has an ear, let him hear." You see, when Jesus walked on this earth with his disciples among all kinds of people, he walked among the rich and poor. He walked among the dirty and the clean. He walked among the righteous and the unrighteous. He walked among the religious and the non-religious. I just heard a message on tape this week about the fact that we so often want to just walk in certain places. Most of us want to walk in safe places, don't we? And yet if our ears are open, he's going to tell us sometimes to walk in places that aren't so safe. For some of you, that might be the workplace. You know? May not be a safe place for you. But Jesus spoke the very same words, and we're going to look at that. Turn in your Bibles to our other text. Our first text here is Matthew chapter 13. Jesus walked amongst all kinds of people just as you and I walk among all kinds of people. And yet there are many of those people that we walk amidst that they do not want to hear. You find that happening a lot today? Some of them you've talked to for maybe years and they still don't want to hear. And so Jesus, as he said those words in heaven, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Look at verse 9 of chapter 13. We're going to be looking at the parable in a moment, but I just want to draw our attention to "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." There's an exclamation mark in Matthew and Mark. In the Gospel of Luke, it says, "He cried out, 'He who has ears, let him hear.'" Did I wake you up? You see, Jesus encountered so many people who were deaf. If for any moment you think it's hard to be around people who refuse to hear, just think about what Jesus went through. God in the flesh, born in a manger, in a filthy stable, becoming flesh and blood, becoming human, still fully divine. Walking through Judea and Galilee, doing all kinds of miracles. And even those who received the benefit of being healed, blindness lifted, lame walking, and on, many of those people still refuse to hear who he was and why he had come. So don't think it a strange thing. If Jesus experienced that on this earth, why shouldn't we? But he never stopped, did he? And he went all the way to the cross. I want us to look at the parable here. And I want to suggest something. I think myself and perhaps you have always looked at this parable as like an evangelist coming and preaching, and some of it fell on the wayside, and then the next, you know, another one fell in the stony place. And as I read that and meditated on this week, I found myself in every one of these situations. Now stay with me, because I believe that we're not honest with ourselves. We don't see ourselves as we are and as he sees us. And we don't hear like we should hear. Knowing that he's speaking. Jesus spoke in parables here. And then if you look at verse 10, the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? And he says to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. I want to say those two verses, if we would ask that of him now, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, if you are a person who is in his word, he has given us the mysteries or the hidden truths of the kingdom of heaven. Are you aware of that? I believe there are days when I'm not aware of that. How many times you read the Bible and you don't feel like you're getting any hidden truths there? Can I say something to you? As I looked at these parables this week, I saw stuff I've never seen before. And I am so familiar. I've preached on this parable many times. But I believe God has given me, maybe it's not a new revelation to you, but it is to me, all right? So I want to read the parable. And we'll read the parable, and not to read the whole passage for lack of time, but we'll read the first parable. Starting in verse 3, then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some of the seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. When the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And Jesus is explaining the whole thing of deafness. And he quotes from Isaiah in verse 14 and 15 about the fact that their ears were not hearing, their heart of hearing, their eyes have closed. But in verse 16 it says, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. How many of you consider yourself blessed this morning? I believe there's outside of salvation, there's nothing that is more of a blessing to us than to have our eyes able to see and our ears able to hear. But I know there are days when I'm blind. And I know there are days when I don't hear. This is the human condition. I know that one day, yes, one day in heaven, my eyes will be open and I'll be seeing things for all eternity and never come to the end of it. Just look out at space on a starry night. But I want to say this to you. If you are blind, he wants you to see. And you're blessed to see. And if you are deaf, if your ears are stopped up, he wants them unstopped. And it's a very simple thing, really, to understand what happens there. Usually it's because we're thinking our own thoughts and we're doing our own things and we're seeing the things the way we want to see them. I don't want to see the things the way the world sees them right now, the way politics sees them right now. I want to see things the way Jesus sees them. And I want to hear the way he hears. So Jesus then explains this parable to him. We'll read in verses 19 through 23. And then we're going to walk through each one of these scenarios. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside. Verse 20, but he who received the seed on the stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who received the seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. There are four scenarios here. Only the last one is the one where we should want to be or need to be. Scenario number one, the seed that fell by the wayside. Look at verse 4. And he sowed, and as he sowed, who's the sower? God? All right. Are some of you sowers? Aren't we supposed to be scattering the seed? Okay. I want us to look at it that way. All right. I'm sowing some seed right now. Okay. I should have brought some of that bird seed from home. I could just toss it out at you. The seed that fell by the wayside. Verse 4, and as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Over to verse 19. Jesus said, explaining this, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received the seed by the wayside. Notice what Jesus says here. The wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown, where? In his heart. Usually when I think of that parable, I think of just, you know, it's scattered, the seed has come out, and it's just laying there, and the birds come and take it away. But it says it was sown in his heart. That's not necessarily, it could be a yet to believer, but it could be a believer. All right? I believe we can understand that this word is being received, how about half-heartedly? How many times you come to church or go to a Bible study and you receive the word half-heartedly? By the way, this is not a message of condemnation. This is encouragement, okay? I don't know about you, but when I hear somebody preach, I want to become better. I want to become wealthier. I want to become more prosperous in my life for Christ. How many of you know that the thing that Satan most hates about us is that we are drawn to his word? There's a battle between Satan's words and the words of God. Sometimes it comes out in a public setting. Many of you went to university where people taught you that the Bible is myth. I've had a preacher tell me that the Bible's myth. Huh? And you've believed that lie, and so the word is no longer important. You see, the word is sown even in your heart. And it says Satan comes and he what? Snatches it away. Now look over to see what is happening here. Jesus doesn't go into an explanation about it. He just gives you the core issue that has been sown in the heart. But in the parable it says, and as he sowed some seed that fell by the wayside, and that's in the heart according to Jesus, the birds came and devoured them. How many of you like crows? One person. Yeah, you're probably right. You're probably right, Joe. I think crows are very smart, very intelligent birds, right? Oh, okay. I didn't know that. Well, let me give you some birds that might be snatching things away from you, okay? Because there are many. How about distraction? Isn't distraction a big one? Some of you might be sitting here, and I know that none of you are because nobody's got a roast in the oven, but I remember being in a church where there were some concerns because the roast was burning. The preacher was going on too long, and so they were distracted the whole time. They're not hearing a thing because they're seeing the roast on fire and the firemen coming to put the fire out in the house. How about disinterest? If you open the Word of God and you're not really interested, if you're disinterested, if you got other interests that are really just more important than what you're going to hear, that's a bird for you. How about unprepared? How about prayerlessness? How about not hungry, not thirsty, full of self? Picking and choosing, wandering mind, predetermined or predisposed to not understand. Those are just a few of the birds. You know what I'm going to ask you right now? Prayerfully consider what birds in your life are snatching you away from the seed that's being sown in your heart. So at the end of the word, the seed being sown, you know what happens? You walk away robbed of the blessing of seeing with your eyes and hearing with your ears and receiving the riches that He wants to give you. You should never walk out of this church empty-hearted. Okay? We're proclaiming God's word here. Scenario number two, seed that fell on the stony places. Let's look at the parable, and then we'll look at Jesus' explanation in verse 20. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth, and continues but in verse 6, but when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Look over to verse 20. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he, listen to what it says, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Wow, that's not a disinterested person, is it? That's not a distracted person, because if I was thinking about the roast in the oven and I was hearing the word, but this is, you know what I mean? And immediately receives it with joy. Yet, verse 21, yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, which is a whole other message that I won't get into, immediately he stumbles. We have brothers and sisters that this very hour and this very moment are in places where they are being persecuted and put to death because of the word. Well, let's keep this closer to home. I don't believe, as far as I know in this room, any of you are being persecuted for the word. Maybe some of you are. And all I can say to you is God bless you. God bless you. See, there's a matter here of little growth or lack of maturing. Verse 5, it says, not much earth. And Jesus says, yet he has no root in himself. All right? There's an immediate response to the word. You're filled with joy. You've heard the word. You've praised the Lord in the sanctuary. You've been in a Bible study where you got excited about what was told. You're filled with joy. And you walk out the door, and tomorrow morning you get up and you've forgotten all about that. Okay? You've had excitement about what you've heard, but then an hour later, maybe a day later, we don't even remember what it was we heard. We haven't sought to apply it to our life. It's what I call momentary conviction. Momentary encouragement. You receive something and you're just overjoyed to receive it, but man, you walk out the door. Maybe it's the world you're living in. But I don't know about you. If I get joy from the word, I want to carry that joy wherever I go. Okay? How many of you know that that's contagious, by the way? Jesus said they will know you by the way you love one another. Well, when you, if we're loving one another, what is it? If you love your wife, isn't it, and you love your husband, isn't it a joyful thing? But when you love Jesus, man, you need to be putting down roots. You need to be putting down roots. You need to take that outline home with you. You need to read the scriptures. You need to meditate on this parable. You need to find out if you find yourself in any one of these situations, because I found myself in all of them. I'll be very, very blunt and very vulnerable with you. This is not about individuals who never heard it, never got saved. This is about, I believe it refers to people that are saved, but they're not living in the fullness of the life that Christ has for them. And you see, what happens when you have no roots and you're not putting roots down? Are you aware that the character formed by the Spirit upon the Word, it doesn't sink in? You have no endurance. You have no perseverance. The trials come and there are no answers. There's no courage. And you find yourself in a heap. You find yourself in a mess. There's a descent into desperation, into self-pity. You're not able to understand the wiles of the devil, the dire circumstances that are there, the coldness of your heart because there's no fire. I think we sing that song, restore that fire in me, that first love. There's no waiting on the Lord, renewing of strength, mounting up with wings like eagles, running and not being weary, walking and not fainting. That's the one that fell on stony places. How many of you are aware that there are days when you have a stony heart? Jesus came what? To give you a heart of flesh, not a heart of stone. Scenario number 3. Oh, this is a big one, brothers and sisters. Seeds that fell among the thorns. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. You ever been choked? I have. You know, if they choke you far enough, what happens? You die. And I fear this is where many of us can find ourselves. What does Jesus say about this? He says, now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. This is where many have their ears stopped, the inability to hear. All they can hear is the rumble of the things that are going on in their lives, okay? This is where the enemy loves to work, when we're not diligent anymore. When we're not immersed in his word, when we are not loving to hear from him. Notice what I said, we're not loving to hear from him. How many of you want to hear from him? There's another danger. Let me just do a little sidestep here. There's another danger here. Many times we are hearing things from people and they don't match up with the word, but we don't know it because we're not in the word. Are you with me? This is where Satan loves for us to be. And so Jesus explains this scenario, and let's look at the two things that he talks about there. But he who verse 23, I mean 22, he who received the seed among the thorns is he who hears the word. And let's take that first one, the cares of the world. The cares of the world. The anxieties, the worries. How many of those things choke the word in you and me? If you choke someone or someone is trying to choke you, as we said before, eventually they'll kill you. And you can come to a Sunday message, you can come to a Bible study, you can come to your personal devotions, and if that anxiety and that worry has a hold of you, you're not going to hear. And you're not going to receive what he has for you, the encouragement that he has for you, the correction that he has for you, the rebuke that he has for you, whatever it is that he wants to do at that moment. And I believe every time, I don't know about you, but every time I open the Word, there's something on that page that's going to speak to me, all right? And some of us have these wonderful devotionals that we use every day, and I don't know how many times, whether it be Oswald Chambers' Utmost for His Highest, E. Stanley Jones with The Abundant Life, the magazine Deed, Daily Bread, whatever it is, you find something on that day that touches your heart, that feeds you, okay? The cares of this world. Turn back in your Bibles with me just a page. I think this was said in prayer in this service already today. Come to me. Come to me. Jesus is speaking here. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. What is that? That's anxieties. That's worries. And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find what? Rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is what? Light. The cares of this world. How many of us as believers or as people of God's word find the cares of this world, the anxieties and the worries just creeping in and taking over? We're getting there. The deceitfulness of riches. Remember when we were in Revelation and we looked at the church at Laodicea, which is the last church, the seventh church. And as we studied that, we realized that each church, even though it was a specific church in Asia, it went down historically to where we reached the church of today, which is the church at Laodicea, which is the church that is lukewarm. I don't believe this church is lukewarm, but it could be. It could be. If you're letting the anxieties and the worries of this world, and if you're letting, it's so amazing and so like God. He takes the anxieties and the worries of the world, which many times are economical, right? True? How many of you have worries about economy right now, your own, the economy, our country, whatever it is. But then he crosses over to the other side of the coin, the deceitfulness of riches. Let me go to the words of Jesus to the lukewarm church at Laodicea. He says, because you say I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and you don't know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. There's a place of danger. And I believe that material things are wonderful. I am so glad to have a roof over my head and a nice house to live in and a warm bed to sleep in, a nice car to drive. But those things can become an idol. They can become deceitful in your life, and they can remove you. They can choke the word. And it's a place of danger. All right, let's end up here with the scenario number 4, verse 7, verse 8. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. I love the way Jesus does this. See, you know, some people get 100-fold. And we go, why can't that be me? He says, well, you got 60. Well, I would like to have 60. No, well, you got 30. It doesn't, see, we're not the fruit. We're not the ones that produce the fruit. Are you with me? All he's asking you to do is to scatter the seed. He who hears the word, look at verse 22. Now he who receives seed on good ground, and he who hears the word and what? Understands it. If you don't understand what I'm saying today, would you just come and sit with me, call me on the phone this week, and we'll go over this, all right? And if you don't understand me, I can guarantee you that if you go home and you read this scripture, he'll give you even more understanding than what I have given you today. All right? There's some Bible scholars in this room, I know it. Just don't let your scholarliness exalt you. Humble yourself before the Lord and he will exalt you at due time. Amen? Come to his word humbly, knowing that he's going to show you something maybe you've never heard before. Really what it is, can I turn in your Bibles and we'll end with this, John chapter 10. So familiar to all of us, but yet do we really understand what it's saying? John chapter 10, beginning at the first verse. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, now listen to what it says, and the sheep what? Hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by what? By name. And leads them out. Are you aware that he knows you? He knows you by name. Now, it says in verse 4, and when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them. And the sheep follow him, for they what? Know his voice. Do you know his voice? Verse 5. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they what? Do not know the voice of the stranger. I want to be very vulnerable with you right now. I have had the stranger speak to me in my life, all right? Anybody else? I think every person sitting in this room has had the stranger speak to you. Sometimes you hear do this and you know that's not from your shepherd. Okay? I want to get to the place where I don't even hear him anymore. You ever done that with another human being? Somebody in your life that they just rub you the wrong way, you don't want to be around them and much less do you want to hear them. You see on the caller ID, I think that's a terrible thing that we have a caller ID now because we can, you know. But you look on there, oh, I can't pick that up. Treat Satan the same way, okay? Treat him the same way. So let me leave you with this. He wants us to have listening ears, and they're the ears of what? Not just these ears, but the ears of our heart. You'll love this, Rosie. Heart. H, T on the end, ear in between. I don't know what the H and the T might mean, but why is ear and heart? Because we can hear up here in our mind, and we can, you know, but when we hear it in our heart, what happens? There's transformation that takes place. It happened on the day of salvation. It happens in our sanctification. As he speaks to us, we're hearing with our heart, okay? He calls us by name. He leads us out. He goes before us, all right? You're not walking ahead of him. You're not even walking with him. When he opens the door and goes out, he goes out before you and you follow him. You go where he goes. Where he wants to go, you want to go with him. How many of you want to go where he goes? Every one of us want to go where he is. Amen? Some of us more than others at this moment. All right? We follow him, we know his voice, and we will flee from the stranger because we do not know his name. As we come to the Lord's table this morning, I just pray that, Lord, folks, brothers and sisters, I pray that you would come with a newfound desire to really open the ears of your heart to receive what he has for you, whether it be here, whether it be in your Bible study, whether it be wherever in a conversation with a friend. Open the ears of our heart, Lord, that we might hear from you. And so as you come this morning to the table, that's the shepherd. That's the shepherd who laid down his life for us. He goes on to say in this passage, the hireling doesn't do that, but I give my life for the sheep. And so we're coming to the table this morning, remembering that our shepherd took our place as dirty, filthy sheep as we are, and he took our place on the cross, and on him our sin was laid. In the garden he says, Father, if it be possible, remove this cup from me, but not my will be done, but thine. That cup was all the filth and all the sins of all the world that were going to be laid upon him. Yes, the cross was a violent place, and the nails through his hands and his feet, the crown of thorns on his head, the spear through his side. You and I cannot imagine the pain, but we can never understand the pain of him who knew no sin, bearing our sins, the sins of the world upon him, receiving the wrath and the punishment of the Father, that which we so rightfully deserved, was put upon him. And he had to cry out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, I pray that as we take this word, as we take it home with us, as we read these scriptures, that you would speak to each one of us. Lord, some of us may have the seed that's been sown on the wayside, some in stony places, and some of us allowed the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches to choke out the word. But I pray right now, by the power of your Spirit upon your word, that you would perform transformation in each and every heart, in my heart, in the heart of my brothers and sisters, if there's any truth of us being at any place but the good soil where it is growing deep and you are bearing fruit. So we thank you. We thank you for loving us in such a fashion. Lord, these weeks of just understanding that your eyes are upon us, that there's nothing that you miss in our lives. You don't miss the sadness. You don't miss the brokenness. You see it all. And you see our joys and you see our triumphs, Lord. You see our weaknesses and you see our strengths. And our weaknesses are only made strong in you, and we thank you for that. And then your ears that hear the cry of our heart. You hear us when we're not even speaking words, Lord. Sometimes there are no words that can come because it's so deep within us as the Spirit groans. But you hear that and you know that. And Lord, you've given us eyes to see things. Not only to see the beauty of your creation, but to see the sin-sick world that lives around us that is so desperately in need of you. Help us to have eyes to see that. And then, Lord, the ears that you've given us, help us to hear you. When you say, this is the way, walk in it. So, Lord, tune us up today. Tune us up. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.